This is ABC News.
Well, hazard reduction burns and the threat from climate change will be at the forefront of the Federal Royal Commission into this summer's devastating bushfires. The Prime Minister today released the terms of reference for the inquiry. Two more commissioners, former Federal Court Judge Annabel Bennett and leading environmental lawyer Andrew McIntosh, will join former Australian Defence Force Chief Mark Binskin. And they'll deliver their findings to the federal government by the end of August. More than 30 people died across the country during the disaster and thousands of homes were destroyed. To look at the terms of reference, Dr. Kevin Tolhurst joins us. He's a fire ecology and managing expert from the University of Melbourne's Department of Forest and Ecosystem Science, who's been a member of the Bushfire Cooperative Research Centre. Dr. Tolhurst, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Glenn.
Let's look at the key areas of this inquiry. The Prime Minister has in the past demanded an investigation into whether backburning and land clearing operations have been hampered across the country. You've told this program decades of poor land management have been exposed by this summer's events. Are you confident this inquiry will address that?
Well, I think there are three things driving here, and I think that's right, that the way in which we've managed fire across the landscape is being exposed by climate change. And so we have to address both the climate change issue, but we also have to address how we've managed fire across the landscape. So some of the studies that have been undertaken say, well, prescribed burning doesn't actually achieve a lot, and we've seen areas that have been burnt severely, even though they'd been described burnt in the past. But what's missing is the fact that we haven't done enough prescribed burning to actually have a measurable impact. So we can't judge the benefits of prescribed burning on the basis of what we've done in the past.
The Australian Forest Products Association says a business-as-usual approach is not an option and that hazard reduction must include a whole-of-landscape fuel reduction approach. It says farmers need permission to actively manage efforts at bushfire mitigation as well. Do we just need a national approach to hazard reduction?
Well, we already, in a way, do have a national approach. It's basically called a national fire management policy document where COAG, all the states and territories that are responsible for fire management, have basically prepared a document which outlines all the principles of fire management and the goals to be achieved. What hasn't happened is there hasn't been effort put into deciding how that's going to actually be implemented. So we've already got quite a few of the answers as what we need to do, but it's a matter of acting upon that. And the trouble is, I guess, that we're talking about a long-term venture. You can't just turn around the climate change or the land management issues in a year or two. We're talking 10 or 20 years before you really see the benefit of changing things, and that's outside the political scope of or the view, because the political cycle is so much shorter than what the natural environment cycles are.
You mentioned climate change. The Australian Conservation Foundation says no previous bushfire inquiry in Australia has ever considered climate change. And it says if we do want to have an impact on future bushfire seasons, we need a long-term plan that looks at reducing the pollution that's driving climate change and contributing to the fires getting worse. Do you think that will happen this time?
Not according to the terms of reference, because terms of reference are written in a way that basically says, let's try and live with the climate change that we have. It's not, there's no indication there that there's any plan to try and modify or reduce the increasing severity of climate change. We're already on a trajectory of increasing climate change through global warming, and we can do things now to actually reduce how high we get on that trajectory. But what we're seeing now is nowhere near as bad as what it's likely to be in decades ahead. So we actually need to be reducing that trajectory by reducing our carbon emissions, and that's not part of this Royal Commission.
You've said the conversation needs to shift away from fire suppression control to other areas. What about changes to building codes and zoning regulations? Do they need to change? Will that be considered?
The planning process, there is mention of planning there, but I don't know that it goes into the detail. It's going to go into the detail of really how we lay out residential development, how we use the land. That doesn't seem to be a major part of the thinking that's outlined there. So it's too limited in scope to really capture that. But again, that's a long-term issue, is how we actually have plan future developments, but also we need to retrospectively look at some of the past management decisions or planning decisions, because some of those decisions haven't been make much sense from a fire point of view or a climate change point of view, and we need to review some of those, and that's going to be a fairly costly and difficult process to go through. So none of that appears really in the terms of reference.
Of course, this needs to be sorted before next summer, ideally, so we can change a few things. The report will be in by the end of August. Is that enough time?
Well, I like the idea of having a relatively short time because it reduces the number of amount of time and resources that go into it. But it matters then as to how efficiently the whole process is run to see whether or not we get to the depth of understanding that is needed. If one of the recommendations, or one of the terms of reference in the terms of reference, is to review past inquiries and royal commissions, that sort of slipped in there, which is a great idea and could significantly shorten the amount of time and effort that goes into this royal commission. So if it's done properly, the time frame could be long enough to have a really meaningful outcome, particularly if it's incorporating the recommendations from previous royal commissions. But it's not just the recommendations from previous inquiries and royal commissions. It's about the intent of them as well. Sometimes these recommendations are put down to a sentence or two, and what is lost is the outcomes that are intended from those recommendations. So governments are quick at ticking off saying, yes, we've addressed that issue, but without having achieved the outcome that was intended by that recommendation. So there needs to be a serious and hard look at those recommendations of the past inquiries and so on to make this inquiry really meaningful and have long-term benefits.